And that's all I need
right there.
Of childbirth, labor pains, throes of labor. These are the beginnings of the throes of labor. Labor for what? Labor for the birth of a new age. And labor of the pain that this false leader, this deception, these ministers that claim they come in Christ's name and never get around to teaching Christ's words. Bunch of one-verse Charlies, hell-bent to deceive people in their ignorance. And never get around to getting to the meat that sticks to the ribs and keeps one from being deceived. And I tell you, this is one of the things that makes me so popular with ministers around the world, with good ministers it does, and with the others. They just love me. And you can see why. I don't cut them any slack. I don't intend to cut them any slack. Because the pains, my friend, in the hearts of those that know have already begun. Because it hurts to see your brethren in ignorance and deception that will not be strong enough or brave enough to take a stand and care about our brothers and sisters that are going to be molested as never before by religion, by the deceptor, by Apollyon, by a Abaddon, by the dragon. All one person, all his names, the devil, Lucifer. He flies many, he wears many hats. And unfortunately, sometimes when you look to the front of your church behind the pulpit, you'll have one of his people standing there. Unfortunately, innocent of the fact or knowledge that they prepare a flock of flyaways rather than those that are able to stay after the night through the day for the return of Messiah, the Christ. So there you have it, my friend. That's what I insist, that you have a Strong's Concordance, so that when it comes up, what kind of sorrows? Labor pains. The benchmark where you stand. Now, what's the next step? Well, how would we figure that out? Well, Christ was an excellent teacher. He didn't jump around like one verse Charlie's. When he was on the subject, he carried through with it. So a real smart person would simply read the next verse. Because the seven seals are going to be revealed to you now. That's what he's talking about. As a matter of fact, Revelation 7 through 11 explains what just happened there. Enough said. Verse 9, next step, after that benchmark of peace, peace, the beginning of the pains. This is what you will see. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Do you know what that step is? That means Antichrist has already appeared. Does it mean he has today? No. But a person that watches prophecy would be very aware that it could happen in a matter of weeks, months, days, years, very soon. Years is not that long, really. What am I saying? You better be awake, because it is the next step. We have finally come to that place in prophecy where the next step basically is the return of Antichrist. That's what I'm telling you. Verse 10, why delivered up? And the gospel must be published among all nations, out of whose mouth? Verse 11, but when they shall lead you and deliver ye up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour. What hour? The hour of temptation. The hour written of. In other words, when it's being taught by the deceivers that in that hour you're going to escape, you're going to fly away, Christ is telling you, you're going to be here and the Holy Spirit will be speaking through you. Let's continue. What is given you, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. This is the tongue that was spoken on Pentecost Day, that came forth in every language in the world, not needing an interpreter, not a bunch of gobbledygook, turkey gobble, or babble from Babylon, straight out of Babylon, but in a clear tone, as it is written in Acts chapter 2, verse 7, 6 and 7, understood in even the dialect of where you were born, whether it was China, Japan, France, Germany, or the good old U.S. of A. It would come out in all those languages at one time. And that is the evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Man can't fake that. That is why Peter would say in Acts chapter 2 concerning that tongue on Pentecost Day, this is that was spoken of by Joel the prophet. Do you know what Joel the prophet spoke of? Have you ever turned there to find out? The coming of Antichrist and the sons and daughters that would stand against him in that day. It's the same subject, my friend. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, verse 12, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Why? One of your good old flyaway buddies that thinks the false Jesus is the true Christ, your mama maybe, or your daughter that doesn't have eyes to see, will go to him and say, oh, sweet Jesus, my daughter is really, she's really, if you get to know her, she's a very nice girl. She's a sweetheart. Have mercy on her. Convert her to your way of thinking. She's been listening to some old boy down in Arkansas, and she's a little confused right now. Out of the wilderness, she was listening. And she's a little confused. Go to her and help her. So the mother, who is this she's delivering up to? It's Apollyon, as it's written in Revelation chapter 9. Who is Apollyon? In the Greek, it's Satan's name. Haven't you learned? Don't you know? Do you study God's Word? Well, I study the Hebrew. Well, then, Apollyon or Abaddon, that's the Hebrew. And it's the same one, Satan's name. Haven't you read? Don't you know? You see, she will have you delivered up to Satan, who is what? Death. Because she thinks it's Jesus. A mother doesn't deliver one of her children to death. She would die herself first. But when she thinks it's Jesus, when it's really the liar, she'll certainly go there and plead your case. And that's all Satan wants, is to know where you are and who you are. And will he kill you? Oh, no. He's going to say, don't you understand? I brought peace to the world. There's no more wars. And there's no poverty. Everybody has plenty. There's a chicken in every pot. A hard thing to fight against, my friend, is plenty of everything. That's what he will give them, especially the flood that comes from his mouth in Revelation 12. It's a flood of lies, and material things make some people very happy. That's why some will be delivered up. Verse 13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Oh man, you go against their rapture Jesus, which is the fake, and you just made a mistake, boy. They're not going to like your case any more than they like you saying what I just stated today. The deceivers. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. They're not going to endure to the end. They tell you a different message. Will you listen to them, or will you listen to Christ? My friends, you're in the end times. Your preacher is not going to stand between you and Almighty God on Judgment Day. you're going to answer for yourself, I would suggest you listen to Jesus and turn off the one-verse Charlies and start studying God's Word for yourself. Learn how to follow a subject and an object. It isn't difficult. Observe who it's written to. This happens to be written to you of this generation. Verse 14, "But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it," or he, better translated, "ought not," because we're talking about the desolator of Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Jesus Christ made the book of Daniel part of the New Testament when he made this statement, "Let him that readeth understand, and let them which be that be in Judea flee to the mountains." Where's Judea? Where this peace treaty was made. That's what we're talking about. Are you awake? Or do you sleep? God knows. 15, "And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house." You won't need a change of clothes after you see this, friend. It's that close. "And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment." You won't need to pack a suitcase. 17, "But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days." Woe to that part of Christ's virgin bride that jumps in the sack with the false Jesus. That's what Christ is talking about. Well, why would Christ use that kind of terminology? Because he wants you to know emotionally how he feels about your acts. If you're a married person, experience his feelings by saying you went on a long journey. And when you came back, if you're the wife, your husband and the neighbor lady have a suckling child. What does that mean? And how do you feel about it, dear? Or on the other hand, the husband has been long gone, 3 or 4 years, and he comes home and his wife is carrying a suckling child. What does that mean? And how do you feel about it, old buddy? Well, when Jesus returns and finds those that have been seduced by the rapture doctrine into worshiping the false Messiah, that's the way he's going to feel about it. Because they won't be a virgin bride. It is why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "Have you read it? Do you know? Open your minds to it." He said, "I'm going to talk foolishly a moment, but I'm jealous over you, and I want to present you as Christ, a virgin bride, not as Eve was, who was seduced, beguiled, expatio in the Greek, by Satan." He wants you to do you know what it means to remain a virgin? That's why Christ put it, in, as well as Paul, in those terms whereby you would not have any difficulty in understanding. Are you awake or are you asleep? Do my words in reading Christ's words sound strange to you because you've never heard Christ teach before? It's pretty hard through one verse Charlie's, I'll tell you for sure, to ever put enough together for it to fit, because the twain shall never meet. Verse 18, "And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter." Spiritually, if you're harvested out of season, in other words, if you don't harvest fruit in the wintertime, got it? Don't be plucked in the wintertime. Out of season, in other words. "For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning." Do you know what affliction means? Tribulation. Has anyone ever told you that there were two tribulations, and this happens to be the first, is the pain, as labor pains of the deceiver? You're not going to be gone anywhere. I don't care what your preacher tells you, friend. Jesus says different. But you won't be harmed. because God protects you. Do you trust Him? That's what you put the gospel armor on for, is to fight the fight and gain the victory with the protection of Almighty God all around you, whereby Satan or none of his can even touch a hair on your head. That tribulation is coming, and the pain has already begun, my friend. From the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be, and except that the Lord has shortened those days. No flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom He hath chosen, He hath shortened the days. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people walking this earth today that say, yes, I'm saved. No, you're not, friend. Well, you don't understand. Once saved, always saved. But honey, you're saved by the false Christ. You're saved by the one that comes and says, I've got tickets now, and I'm getting the load up for heaven. Have you got your ticket on that bus, honey? I got a bed. It's not going up. It's going down. So just get on it and say bye-bye to those that remain in the field working, doing God's work, or you're going to hell in a basket. Baskets don't last too long in hell. Am I trying to frighten someone? No, I'm trying to get your attention to listen to what Christ is saying. Because, friend, whether you like it or not, you're living it. You're in that time. No flesh saved except the elect. And even for their sake, those that know it's the false one, because of his supernatural abilities. What was it talking about? From Daniel, it was 7 years. It was shortened to 5 months in Revelation chapter 9. Did you know that? It is written. Have you never read? Verse 21, and then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. When somebody tells you, Christ is coming, he's rapturing everybody out, don't believe it. Why? Let Christ tell you. Verse 22, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise. Not maybe. Not perhaps. Shall. Those are the words of Jesus. Do you hear them? Do you follow Him? Or are you a stranger to Him? Well, that sounds kind of strange to me. Then you better get in the Word and stop listening to one-verse Charlies. And shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Don't you be seduced. Do you know what it means to seduce someone? Do you want me to tell you? Or are you intelligent enough to grasp that for yourself? Let me ask you, are you going to be seduced? Or are you going to say as Christ, get behind me, Satan! But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Well, when did he tell me all things? Sweetheart, right here in his word. Have you read it? It is written. But in those days, that after that tribulation. What tribulation? The first one. Come on, get with it. Get with the program. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. God is angry, his wrath is raised. And then, and not until then, shall they see the Son of Man coming in the power of the clouds with great power and glory. And then, and not until then, second tribulation, shall he send his angels and gather together his elect. Who are his elect? The saved ones. Are you a saved one? Or are you a sucker that has listened to religion, that has wrapped you up and tied you in a cocoon of ignorance to serve the false Messiah, to be with child when the true Christ returns? Ashamed as he looks at you with that Satan's brat on your knee. I speak spiritually. All Christ is coming as the bridegroom to take a virgin bride. Will you be a virgin on that day, spiritually? think about it. Hey, doesn't matter to me. Christ said it. I'm a teacher. I teach it. The question is, do you have ears to hear? All right, bless your hearts. I pray that you do. It would please me very much and cause me to love you a great deal, but that's not important. He loves you a great deal. When you let Him know that you listen to Him rather than the traditions of men that absolutely make void God's Word, the benchmarks, the hour, and the time. My friend, they have cried, peace, peace. Did you hear it? All right, bless your hearts. You listen a moment, won't you please?